Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Star Wars Day today. So happy Star Wars Day to all of you out there. I hope it's great. And for people who don't have any idea what I'm talking about, the date today can become a terrible pun and you don't have to try very hard. So I will drop that on you as I introduce my guest. My guest today is Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte. May the 4th be with you.
Talking of people that don't require hard work and terrible puns, hi.
As I mentioned this morning... Yes.
No, I'm pleased to be my intro to be the terrible pun. Always.
I'm glad for this. I will also point out that today, first of all, this is not a thing I made up, which when a lot of people hear it from me, think it's a thing that I'm trying to make happen. And it's not my responsibility. I didn't do this. But I will also point out it is the intersection of two things I love dearly. And that is... ridiculous puns and wordplay, and I get to add Charlotte to the mix today with all of that. So the day just continues to improve. Speaking of improvements, we have a couple of things I want to mention right here at the top of the show.
Nice. I see what you did there.
Very
see,
smooth.
Look.
Yeah.
Nice.
I will point out for people who were very excited about 14.5 on your phones and on your iPads, 14.5.1 is now out. Apple apparently making a tradition of dropping software updates on Mondays. This came out yesterday with some small refinements to things that are happening in 14.5. Also, along with that, we have 11.3.1. And part of the reason I wanted to point these out is because if you go look at the release notes for them, they say there's some security stuff in here, but we're not going to talk about it. And you should update, which usually means that there's something a little more serious that may be an active thing that isn't yet fully patched, that they don't want to let people know is still part of that. That thing, there's like a security issue happening. So definitely make sure you get those out there. And because they're what we call third digit upgrades, going from 11.3.0 to 11.3.1 or 14.5.0 to 14.5.1, those are usually pretty small updates and they don't take very long to do. So do make sure you pull the trigger on those on all your stuff today. I haven't seen any issues. I've been sort of watching for people to say, like, it bricked my device or things like that. So if you've noticed some weird behavior, maybe one of these .1 updates will fix it. And while we're sitting here announcing things, I will take a moment to tell you that, just so everyone's aware, Charlotte and I just recorded an episode of Media Plus. And I was the guest. So in case you can't get enough of me, here on Daily Observations, you can always go over there and listen to Charlotte and I have a very interesting conversation about the state of TV Plus.
Yeah, come join us. We talk about stuff we're watching, stuff we want to watch. Come join us. It's fun.
And
this is lovely.
Personally, I really enjoyed the conversation. So just so people know.
we had fun even if... We delve into some of the stuff that's going on in streaming and TV Plus. So yeah, do come join. Subscribe to the show. Tell your friends. All of that jazz.
Yeah, like and subscribe and all of that, I think, is what they say now or something.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. So we have an interesting thing to discuss today outside of all of that. And that is some of the aftermath. I was going to say fallout, but that's not quite the word. Some of the aftermath of the latest earnings call. I don't think it's an understatement to call it a monster quarter. From Apple this last 3 months, the first 3 months of the year. And they and we have an interesting perspective on it. And the reason it seems interesting to me is because I've been watching Apple for a long time. I've been following Apple very closely since way before the Wired cover, for people who remember that. And it's mind-blowing to listen to some of the stuff that they say on the earnings call now when they throw around numbers in the billions and like it's nothing. And and it always seems like there's a lot of pessimism about Apple no matter what they're doing. can they pull it out? And then they do. And then it's like, well, can they keep pulling it out? And then they do. And then, well, they have to introduce something new that's going to be awesome. And then they do. And like, no matter what it is people keep doing, like, you know, it's like, well, they can't really be a success unless they do this thing. And then they go do it. And then people keep sort of moving the goalposts. So Charlotte, you found a piece from Dan Morin. Hi, Dan. Dan and I are podcast buddies, so hello. You found a piece from him over at Macworld that was really optimistic, which is part of what stood out to me.
It was both optimistic and really sensible and analytical. Dan is a great Apple watcher,
mm-hmm.
as one might put it. I've had him on Media Plus, and he was a great guest. You do lots of stuff with him. His Macworld column is great. Not least because it's called Stay Foolish, I think, which is just excellent.
I do love that.
But yes, enough praise for Dan. Enough. Let's praise Apple instead, because his point is that we sort of often get an idea of what Apple is working on and what Apple is excited about by the language that the execs use on these normally pretty staid calls. And he noticed Luca Maestri, the CFO, getting rather excited. In fact, the phrase Mr. Maestri used was very excited about wearables.
Mm-hmm. Now, and that's when you need to pay attention.
Correct.
Very excited.
Very excited. Ooh. So Tim Cook often uses those kind of phrases around AR and VR. Mm-hmm. And Luca Maestri seems to be using it around wearables. And as Dan rightly points out, wearables is a very broad category, which makes it very exciting for us users.
Mm-hmm.
So the obvious things that wearables include are things like Apple Watch and AirPods.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Fine. Yeah. But there's all sorts of other things that, you know, in homes and accessories, which is the kind of financial category Apple uses, I believe, they're clearly interested in. Now, and it got me thinking, and we were kind of riffing off this off air, about the type of products that I would be very excited in this kind of space for Apple to do in the future. Because I think the idea that there is a lot to look forward to is correct.
Absolutely.
I think that is right. Since I've been really closely covering Apple, has basically, by and large, been the Tim Cook era.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've discussed in various ways, he was always sort of drawn up as the boring operations guy who, and then suddenly it's a $2.2 trillion company. How did that happen? Well, it turns out there's some really exciting products that lots of people really like. Warren Buffett mentioned it at the Berkshire Hathaway shareholder meeting over the weekend. He really praised Tim Cook. And so I think generally about the kind of things I would like Apple to release, and we all have our little pet wish lists and stuff, don't we?
Indeed.
And the kind of excitement about wearables got me thinking, looking at my wrist, looking at the Apple Watch SE on my wrist, and thinking, ooh, what will the next generation of this look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite excited about that. That would be one of the products I would be really interested to hear about, possibly even buy. I think it would have to be a really big upgrade for me to, at this point, replace a year old Apple Watch SE.
And let me jump in. Yes, only a year old.
Well, less than a year old.
Yeah.
At this point.
That's true.
6 months.
I remember when you got it. And The thing I think is, to me, the thing that's the most exciting in the home and wearable space that they're doing is the watch. And the reason for that is because I know that the current one is Series 6, but it still feels very new and very, it feels like a solid product to me, but it doesn't feel like a mature product to me in the way that the iPhone and the iPad are, just the Apple Watch in general.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because like when you look back at iPhone over the years, we got a very big update in like every iteration for a long time. And with the iPad, the same thing. I mean, remember I think people forget a lot that the OG iPad didn't have a camera. Not in the front, not in the back. No. There was no camera.
No.
And so everybody wanted the iPad 2 because it had a camera. And then, you know, and then we get, you know, we get the voice assistant, we get Touch ID, we get Apple Pay, we get Face ID. So like there's big things that continue to that continued to come to those products. And I feel like the Apple Watch is growing by leaps and bounds along those same sorts of lines. So I'm really yes. excited to see when they can crack some of the nuts that people have been talking about forever, making it a more independent product and less of a sidekick for your phone. Because right now it's very much a companion device. And so Absolutely. Continuing to make it more independent with, and this is the one time I think it's good that Apple works very hard to make sure that things don't get bigger. I would be happy to carry a slightly slightly thicker laptop if it meant I got a better camera in the lid. Are you listening, Apple? I would be very happy to have, you know, a slightly thicker phone if it meant, you know, that there was some other feature that I could get with that, right? So I definitely look forward to seeing where the watch continues to go, because I feel like we're going to get, you know, at some point they're going to figure out some way to give us reasonable glucose monitoring, which is like the number one thing I hear people talk about now that the Pulse Ox is in the Series 6, that the next thing that they would really like to be able to measure is glucose, is a thing that like loads and loads of people would really like to have as part of their watch in some way. Other thing, like more features that make it so that your phone can be further removed from the equation, like I said, so that your watch is a more independent device. So I'm really looking forward to the watch.
In that direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you raised an interesting point, actually. The reason I specifically said SE2, not the development of the Apple Watch, is, and I wrote this in my review when I first got my Watch SE, why I picked this in theory, lower end product to the 6 is because I wanted a fitness and athletic device, not a health device.
Right.
And I hope that as Apple expands into this wearable space that they are, quote, very excited about, that differentiation is not lost. In fact, that it is in some ways accelerated. So that the SE has really good, some improved, that you know, in ways that perhaps I can't even think of, ability to help you when you're working out, when you're exercising, when you're doing sport. And that if you really have concerns, for example, as you're saying, glucose monitoring is a really good example of things. They put the pulse oximeter in the Series 6. Things that, you know, the ECG capabilities in the 6, not the SE. And I consciously, as a consumer, made a decision that I did not want those functions. They were not useful to me,
right?
And therefore I saved a couple hundred dollars and have a device that does exactly what I want.
But you have a device you're very happy with.
That tells me exactly, it tells me when to get up, it monitors when I'm exercising, it tells me to do more exercise when I don't do enough, it monitors my workouts, it, you know, it tracks me if I'm on a bike, all those kind of things. And that's great. And there's
And I definitely feel like the SE series as a more Fitbit style device. Like,
exactly.
I want it to do these basic things, because I think the distinction that you make there is really interesting, which is I want like an exercise sport device and not necessarily a health monitor sport device. And those are different things. Those are different use cases. And I think I like to think, I guess, that that's where the SE came from. Is we want to offer that to people who just you know, are training for a marathon and don't need all the other stuff, you know, and don't like Fitbit for whatever reason, you know, they need slightly more data than the Fitbit gives them or something. And so I really hope that SE continues to be viable for that reason, because I think there are a lot of people who are a similar use case to your own.
I that's what I'm hoping as well, and I hope they really do. My hope for the SE2 is that they double down on that as as its direct Fitbit competitor. Because the Apple, let's be honest, the Apple Series 6 is not a direct Fitbit competitor.
It is not.
It has vastly, you know, a vastly more capabilities in lots of ways. It's, you know, it has a whole different level of functionality. So I and I hope that they continue on both price point and function to challenge the Fitbit with the SE range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never really thought about it that way until you said it. And I think that's a terribly interesting point, that the SE had, in a lot of cases, has a very different use case than what people are getting out of the...
They initially sold it, didn't they, as kind of for kids maybe, and those kind of things, if I remember the original kind of messaging around it.
Yeah, like just sort of a casual auxiliary device. Yeah.
I think they missed a trick, and I hope they... Mm-hmm. Particularly when we've got services like Fitness Plus and other things, really integrate those.
Yeah, because, you know, that was one of the things that, you know, that's an old trick from Apple's bag to sell hardware to get people into software. You know, they launched the iTunes store so people would buy music to fill up their iPods. Like, you bought an iPod and then you went to the iTunes store to go fill it with music. And so, you know, buying an Apple Watch SE so that you can work out at home and not have to go to the gym anymore seems like it would have a lot of appeal. So,
or if you're someone like me that would have, you know, in normal life would have gone to the gym, but also and would have wanted to do some exercise monitoring there, and also has a road bike and would like never really been able to properly monitor my road bike.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough to buy the £600 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Apple Watch Series 6, as beautiful a device as it is, and it is a spectacular device, it's not the device I need.
Right.
And I think I've made this point before, I've made it in my review, and my hope, as I say, for the future is that Apple... Basically, I think Apple should continue to make devices that I want. This is what it boils down to.
And Charlotte, you've become a real Apple pundit today. Apple needs to make things for me. Oh...
Yeah, exactly.
The student has surpassed the teacher. That said, we need to spend a minute on the other wearable thing that Apple makes, which you do not approve of.
Not yet.
Well, I think there's about a quarter of an inch of it that you don't approve of, to be specific. And that's AirPods.
Yes.
So, like you said, this is a big category when we talk about wearables, home, and accessories. So that's like AirTags, that's Apple TV, that's HomePods, that's HomePod Minis. There's a lot of stuff there.
And probably more stuff coming.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There was an interesting article from a year ago that for some reason the chart has started making the rounds again on social media. And it shows AirPods revenue, just AirPods revenue. As opposed to, like, in a chart stacked up against other tech companies. And it comes in at, and remember, this is 2020, not 2021. And it comes in just slightly more than Adobe and slightly less than Uber. Fourth place overall, because it goes Tesla, Netflix, Uber, AirPods, Adobe, NVIDIA, and then on down the line.
Yeah. I've written up and read enough analyst reports on the wearable sector in which, and Dan makes this point in his column from which is where we started this conversation, his point, and it is absolutely correct because I've, as I say, read enough of these reports myself, is wearables is completely dominated by AirPods and Apple Watch, which if you look at, you know, true wireless earpieces, AirPods smashes it. It's huge in that. If you look at Apple Watches, Apple Watch completely dominates that space. Mm-hmm. Even though there are perfectly reasonable other competitors, the Apple Watch still dominates.
And the thing about the watch dominating that is so interesting to me is how Apple keeps turning in these like unbelievable to me numbers about how many people are buying an Apple Watch for the first time. So it feels like when they do this, and they've been doing it for like years, you know, 60 or 70 or 80% of people who are buying an Apple Watch last quarter were buying one for the first time.
Sure.
So many people are not chronically upgrading or are currently wearing, however many people have an Apple Watch, like so many of those people are wearing their first one, the one that, you know, whenever they bought it. And it's really interesting to see, because to me what that tells me is that that space is growing.
Oh, for sure. It's growing. On AirPods, you're right that I've never really been bought into them so far. What would tempt me to buy the Apple product as opposed to a cheap rival is if it was a proper a stemless earbud at a reasonable price point.
Well, they make those and they call them Beats. So
sort of.
Yeah, it's close. Yes. It's close.
It's close enough for now.
Yeah. It's possible they're in for revolution. The thing that I can tell you specifically about the AirPods Pro is that the stem is where the control happens. So when you want to enable and disable noise canceling and things like that, it's on the stem itself.
So. Yeah, and I suspect that is why I will never get my dream of stemless
Apple
noise
branded
canceling. Apple branded true wireless earbuds.
Yeah.
But I might be wrong, and I like, if I was wrong, I'd be happy and probably a bit poorer because I'd spend money on them.
It's entirely possible. And you know, a thing I'd like to dig into at some point, we're not going to do it today, but I would like to find out more about the Apple TV situation, because I feel like that box isn't getting the love that it needs in order to be a real product. Like, we gave you a new remote, but it's the same old box. Doesn't feel very...
With an A12 chip, not even an A14 or anything.
Yeah. It feels very underwhelming as an upgrade. It doesn't feel like an actual upgrade. It feels like they just sort of made a slight adjustment to make people a little bit happier, and it's still not like the upgrade that I would have expected the way we got upgrades on other things. So we'll talk about that another time, though. I would like to thank you for joining me today, Charlotte. I really appreciate you coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. Again, may the fourth be with you, everybody. I will talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.